Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. Returning, he's been on before, is my very good friend Michael Jost. Hello. And he had called me up a couple of months ago about his new band. You had mentioned his new band, and Lori had mentioned it to me too. Who's here too, Lori?
Hello.
And double check, are you?
Hello, hello.
All right, let me get you up a little bit. There we go.
All kinds of stuff happening here.
Yeah.
Here we go.
There we go. Okay, so anyway, the name of the band is Dos Pochos. And before I have them play, tonight's going to be an interesting night, and I think great, because they're so oriented for live playing. I'm not going to play the clips. I'm just going to let them play. So the members of the band is Michael and Rick Boston. And let me start out real quick. I'll direct it to Michael, is how the band came together.
Rick and me, we met through a common friend, and we also have a band together with Isaac Irvin. It's called Los Pochos. And it was actually Rick's idea to do three guys with Spanish guitars and vocals and just have fun and do this. And so we started doing this. And then during this period of time, sometimes when the singer didn't have time, Rick and me, we just had so much fun playing together. So we started our morning guitar boot camp. So very often, or almost every day during the week, in the morning he calls me up, "Are you up?" with a cup of coffee. And we start playing Spanish guitars together. And this is our boot camp, and that's what happened. And we have a lot of fun. We started playing live. We actually came back. We played in Germany a few shows and Taos, New Mexico and stuff. So it became a lot of fun, and I think something happens when we both come together. So that's what happened.
Well, let's go ahead and let's have you guys play, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Which piece are you going to do?
We're going to do Pistola.
Pistola.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And we'll skip the intro and go
straight
to it.
Thank you.
The abbreviated awesome. Version.
Beautiful. Abbreviated. More than beautiful.
So let's talk a little bit. I'll start with Rick. I want to talk about your background.
It's white.
Matches your shirt.
But your musical influences and how you got into guitar and just... So we can get an idea where you're coming
sure.
from with this instrument.
I was born in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And with the weather what it was, you had a lot of time to spend in a bedroom practicing. And my early influences, of course, were Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page. Then I instantly discovered Jeff Beck was the master, so he became my influence. So I was actually an electric player. And I went to college and studied jazz harmony and theory. And then I moved to the U.S. and began writing songs with people like Dan Navarro and Eric Lone. And I've written songs for Joe Cocker and Nile Rodgers. And then started touring with people and making more records. Made a record with Ricky Lee Jones called Ghosty Head and toured the world with her. Yeah, she's an amazing spirit,
yep.
that one. And the acoustic guitar was always something in me, and it was a time in the 80s, 90s, and it was always electric. But even with Belinda, when I toured with her, we would end the show, just her and me on acoustic guitar and her singing, which was kind of unusual. People wouldn't expect a go-go with an acoustic guitar, but mm-hmm. we did it, and it was always a kind of a magical moment. I think the acoustic guitar brings people to a place of like sincerity, like in an audience. If you play on an acoustic guitar, if you put on a show, we get Marshall stacks and drums. It's okay, it's exciting, it's big. But when you strip it down to
yeah,
one
you peel
person,
away all the layers.
Yeah,
know?
When you just play the acoustic, it's brutally honest. And if they can tell that you have a facility on it,
Hello?
You earn their respect.
Sure,
I think a lot more than if
can
you're
you
an
not
electric
very well.
Player.
You're on well.
Technical. Now I can.
But you're. Pretty loud. Your level's pretty loud.
Okay.
Check your... You might need to bring up your headphones.
I did.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You guys okay? You want to talk amongst yourself?
No, we just want to talk to each other.
No, but it's interesting the what you were talking about at the end of the show, that type of... It's a, with acoustic guitar and like solo vocalists, it's a moment.
Yeah.
It's like a little
yeah.
moment. It's
yeah.
very intimate and it works. And she's a great vocalist anyway,
yeah, yeah.
so it's kind of cool
yeah.
to show that.
Yeah, yeah, because everyone has assumed her to be sort of a character of the Go-Go's, but then when they see her sing on a stool with an acoustic guitar, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Then
right.
the applause even felt from a deeper
right. That's like
place.
She can really sing.
Yeah. yeah.
Now, were you pretty much self-taught, or did you study, or you do anything?
Both. I think I anyway, self-taught, and then I took lessons. I think I went to Mel Bay Book 2.
There you
I
go.
I got that far. Yeah.
I remember Mel Bay. I don't know if they did. They have Mel Bay in.
I don't know what that is.
Ah, come on, Michael. Yeah.
Then that answer would be
He's
no.
Being too I had different experiences. I had a Russian professor Leskov, and if you didn't have the right, he was smoking during giving guitar lessons all the time. And so, if you didn't have the right posture, he came with a cigarette close to your hand to make you move right. I learned it the right way.
It's a different type of Mel Bay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
So, but so besides the rock influence, what got you? What were your influences acoustically?
Jazz.
Really?
Yeah, Wes Montgomery, Joe Pass. I always wanted to play chord melody. You know,
oh, okay.
Learn songs like Little Gordon Light.
Yeah, but so. Speaking of Gordon Lightfoot, so folk wasn't an influence? Because that's folk, I mean...
Yeah. I remember my mother, when I went to the mall, and I had my first time to buy a record, and I wanted to buy Come Together by the Beatles, and she was like, no, you're not buying that, because they're going to go buy drugs with that money.
Right? Oh, God.
They're going to get that dollar and go straight over buy drugs. So she bought me the Gordon Lightfoot album, and... I think it was Bitter Green was on it. I remember that. But, yeah, when you're a kid, you want to
my parents
rock.
Bought me that album.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you want to rock. And I get that. But then as you go older, I go, wow, I pulled that album out and went, oh, this is a great record. I didn't know it when I was 14.
So later on, you
yeah,
got more
sure,
into that.
Sure.
Because, I mean, you have a good feel, a finger-picking feel, like a folk feel, besides the classical,
right,
which we'll talk about in a minute. But the you had to pick that up from somewhere.
No, I studied Chet Atkins. I mean, he was like... the god of guitar, Chet
oh,
Atkins,
okay.
Merle Travis, Chet Atkins. As a matter of fact, when I toured with T-Bone Burnett, the person that got me the gig, Eric Presley, God rest his soul, T-Bone said, "Hey, Eric, I want to thank you. You found me a guitar player who can finger pick." Because, you know, most rock guitar players, but when we sat on the bus and I pick up an acoustic guitar and finger pick, and he's like, "Oh, wow, great, you're staying."
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you guys approach the mix? Because there's a very, this is a very diverse type of collaboration. Because we talked about your style and influence from before, on the show you were on before, and I love the quote in his bio. It's like he's across from Paco de Lucia and Stravinsky to Jimi Hendrix and Pink Floyd. So you have that coming in, and yourselves. How do you? Well, let's talk a little bit about the creative process. How do you guys integrate and make these songs happen?
You know, I would say that's also my personal belief. The more I learn about music, the more people I'm exposed to with music, and I am a lot lately. So I find it really interesting if you have something, an unusual mix, when styles meet that are not really totally predictable. You know, and so with our slightly different background, but we also have similar heroes in a lot of ways, but with a stylistic background, when we come together, something happens that wouldn't be with each of us if we do it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I really absolutely emphasize the mix of styles. The wilder, the crazier, the better, I think. In the creative processes, we just throw our stuff together. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like a good cereal. You put a few berries.
Because you're not afraid of anything, that's why.
he's very liberal.
He's not afraid. Just
can't
go.
Be afraid. Yeah, and, that's a beautiful thing. And the more I do this, the better it works out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really, of course, when you're younger, you are afraid of so many things you don't want to do. But the more I put all these fears beside and just open up to this, like, what here's what, right? The same thing to Rick. I have to say, Rick is very open-minded, right? And so that turns out to be a nice mix.
But if I may, when we met with Isaac, who is the other member of Los Pochos, the concept was he came to me to record some songs for a record. And he was singing in English. And I said, "Someone told me you sing in Spanish." And he started to sing in Spanish. And as a record producer, I know when I hear something, you know when you have the nugget in front of you? And I went, "Stop." And I put the microphone, and he did the song Negro Tomasa. And I recorded 5 songs with him singing in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I refused to work with him singing English for a while.
Oh, how fun.
Because he sings Spanish so incredibly well. So I think Michael and I found, when we started doing those songs together, like El Cuarto de Tula. So we found common ground doing those Spanish songs with Isaac singing. Yeah. And so that's sort of where we muted our other tendencies and focused on Spanish, Mexican, Cuban style. And that's where now Dos Pochos came from. Now it's probably going to expand, and we're probably going to get Stratocasters and Big Muffs, and we probably will get a conga player and a zither and a euphonium. Who knows what else?
All the above.
Who knows where it will go?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
But we started with very distinct backing up Isaac on Cuban and Mexican songs.
Got it.
Well, let's, if you guys are up to it, why don't you guys play, if I'm saying it right, Amadeus?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Amadeus, it's Amadeus.
Amadeus.
But I think that one kind of shows that kind of mm-hmm. Latin-Spanish feel.
That was actually the very first one.
Song we ever wrote.
Isaac didn't have time, so this is how it all started out with Amadeus. We threw some parts together. I had a couple parts, and that's what happened.
Well, let's take a listen, because I think that kind of shows that, what you were just talking about.
Thank you.
I had told him, just so you
can't stop.
These guys as players are really tight, but I had told him to play abbreviated versions of it, and you were just getting into that middle section.
You didn't even see
you
that.
You were going to stop.
You didn't so even see what he did.
The endings are not intentionally sloppy. It's just that I told him to abbreviate, and he knows.
He was like stopping, and you were soloing, and you know.
He just pulled.
Awesome. No, it was cool what you were doing, and the two pieces, the two guitars together, the way you integrate them, it's really full.
It's a conversation. I'm watching you guys go back and forth. You know, how do you figure out who's soloing? And,
yeah, that's a great way to.
But you were doing some really cool stuff. You like little chordal things. You were like arpeggiating up in the upper register using the lower strings.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It really worked really well, but. Of course, we have to nerd out and talk a little bit about these guitars.
Let's
tell me about this guitar.
My very, very fancy, handmade in a small island somewhere called China. It's called the Cordoba, and it's the GK Studio Negra. And actually, because I have never really owned a flamenco guitar, I just went to Guitar Center. I said, my friend and I want to start playing flamenco together, so I bought it off the rack. And I've really kind of grown to fall in love with it. It really is a great little guitar.
It sounds great. Right? It sounds really great.
If you don't hit it too hard, I've totally cracked it from doing the...
Oh, goodness.
When we were traveling Germany and you get in a room full of people and you get, you know, suddenly when you start... when you start doing...
I heard it crack when it happened.
Start doing
so
that.
Bang! Whoops!
There was a couple of alcoholic beverages.
Yeah. Bam!
Yep.
We have a gap.
That's a new one?
No, I think we lost. Did we lose video? Yeah, we lost video. But we'll keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, speaking of that really, really quick while we're waiting for the video to come back, the when you went to Germany, you used that guitar, but did you take Lucy with you?
Yes. I never leave the house without Lucy. So I have to have her with me. If I go for months, I once went to Australia like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and I just took a Cordoba to travel, and I miss her so much. So
now, Lucy is made by
Thomas
from
Candelas. Yeah, he's a very good friend of mine. Builds incredible guitars, and I have a few of his. He actually just got a new one from him, which is like Miss Lucy, a very good guitar, like all wood, mm-hmm. but it has a pickup built in. So if I do traveling, sometimes. You know, you're not having a really, really expensive guitar with you. So I'm in pain sometimes in the airplane. Mm-hmm. If they take it away, you have to put it in a hall. So the other one is a guitar he's designed, mm-hmm. built by Estrella, and it's with a Fishman pickup system, but it's a full guitar with a wooden body, so it sounds very good. So
you guys, when you toured, you just took those two guitars, or did you take the Martin mm-hmm. and the...
Yeah. No, not yet. You know, when we went to Germany, we had to be a little careful, but in the future, we talked about it would be nice to be able to travel with two or three guitars each. Yeah. So we need a private jet. So we need.
I think, if I can, what's happening now that we don't all have the luxury of having a sound check and a professional mm-hmm. sound crew, you're thrown into these clubs and it's just like chaos. And these type of guitars, as much as I know someone might go poo-poo about it, but you have all this control here. If it's boomy, you roll the bass off. It's a great weapon, if I can use that word, because it's like fast.
Yeah, it's your tool.
You can get where you need to go, whereas if you had a really fussy instrument that needed a certain microphone and all that, you're gonna die. You're gonna die out there because there's no time.
Well,
for that.
You just plug directly into the sound system. Yeah. You don't bring like a preamp pedal board or anything.
It depends. You know, for example, we played Sunday at the Pacific Resident Theater, so we were lucky to do an extensive soundtrack and be mic'd the guitars.
Yeah, Michael brings his mics that he likes. If we have control of the situation,
well, you do try to mic them.
Yeah,
then,
yeah, if we have control, but if you don't have control, you can't.
I do prefer miking. Sometimes, you know, you go into clubs, and sometimes, especially if it's loud, you need to plug in, you know. That's why it doesn't. But if I can, so when we get really to do like a venue where people are listening, a listening room or like a theater kind of thing, like we did last Sunday, miking is definitely still the best because all the dynamics you have and everything, you lose so much dynamics by plugging in.
That's true. What pickup do you have in there?
There's an Ella Beck's pickup system in there.
Just the one under the bridge?
Yeah, it's just one under the bridge.
That's what I have.
Just in case I don't have to. But the other guitar that I have right now from Thomas has a full-blown Fishman system in there. So I can
full-blown Fishman.
No, the Candelas guitars are just amazing. But the it is true, but the thing I found at live is it's hard to... You got a mic so close all the time because there's so much noise.
Yeah,
like right here, we're fortunate today because there's nobody else in the studio tonight, so I was able to pull the mics back. So the mics on the guitars... You can hear the resonance a little more. It's much richer.
Yeah,
that is particularly when doing my guitar. So that's what I like. I like to play venues where people are listening, and you don't have so much noise around, so you can have the mic a feet or two away.
Well, what do you use for microphones?
I have a for live actually. I use an SE mic, a small membrane condenser microphone. You know, and then if you can do this, these are really good. They're like $250 or something. And they're rather cheap for traveling. So if you lose it, it's not like you have a Neumann KM84 or something, which is like $1,100. So, but it's the same kind of system. And so what I do, or what we do, when we mic it, we tell the monitor guy, don't have us on the monitors so you don't have a problem with feedback. Just listening to the natural guitar, which I prefer actually. It's not so nice if you play acoustic guitars and you get blasted by your monitors. You know, it's really distorting everything, and it's not so nice to play, especially if you play like stronger chords. It doesn't come back pleasant. So if you just have the natural acoustic sound with a good mic, so like a small membrane condenser microphone that is not really sensitive from feedback, and then take it off the monitors. That's my favorite way of playing.
So the SE is a condenser?
It's a condenser, yeah.
Yeah.
Small.
What do you use when you mic?
At home, when I record.
When you play live?
When I play live, I plug in.
Do you just plug in, you don't mic it?
No.
The other day we mic'd it, I brought like an old, also condenser mic, small membrane, same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I hate the sound of direct in, but like I said, we're not in the position yet as a group where we can walk in and have our own sound crew and the people that know our, you know, and mic us. I mean, I would like to experiment with, you know, putting foam maybe in the guitar and partly DI with a little bit of a microphone. I mean, I don't know. We can probably get all nerdy and find some practical, quick way to get a better sound. But I think when we play, it seems like people react to us and they're not, you know, audiophiles, and they sort of like our energy, and so let's just start playing and not get all tweaked out.
But the small diaphragm mic sounds full enough, because these Audio Technicas, they're a larger diaphragm, so you get a little more bass to it. It gets a little more. These are interesting.
These are great mics.
I did a whole record with one of these. I have this in Germany. I have this little studio there. Tuna was there in the wintertime. I only had this. It's great.
Yeah, that's my travel mic.
Great.
And these are really, they work really well with amps, too. They make
really?
Marshall sound really sweet.
Seriously?
Because they don't have the top end of some of the other mics.
Right.
So it smooths off the top end a little bit, so you don't get the buzz from the distortion.
Yeah, I got that. I love these mics, don't get me wrong, but they're sometimes too sensitive for feedback if you do live as monitor.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't use these live.
The small membrane condenser that I have, the SE, has a nice, really warm low end. And so it's
really, because these are pretty strict cardioid. I haven't used them live except here, but they seem to cancel.
The large membrane will be a little bit more sensitive for the thing.
Yeah, but these are great. They have a pad on them, and they have a low bass roll off if you need it.
So I like it.
And then for recording, it's a whole different thing, right?
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I think we just all earned new Audio Technica microphones with that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we like Perlman mics here, too.
Yes, the Perlmans are nice.
Do you know Dave? Oh, what is this one now?
It's a
newer.
I can't see the name on it.
It says newer.
But what do you use for recording?
It's a Bach U47. David Bach. He's kind of a high-end mic creator guru. So he makes
like Dave.
Is that like David general Bach. Purpose?
Like Dave Perlman.
Yeah, and it's, you can do everything on vocals, guitars. Everything.
We actually did a recording at your house.
To plug my friend, Ian Gardner has a company called Branch Tree Audio, and he makes a branch preamp that's a combination of a preamp, compressor, and EQ, basically a Fairchild and a Pultec, and an LA-2A all-in-one. It's the perfect vocal guitar all-in-one box.
Nice.
What's his name again?
Ian Gardner, and the company is called Tree Audio, T-R-E-E.
Just Tree or Branch Tree?
Tree is the company, but the branch, he calls all this, you know.
It's all related.
It's all related
tree,
to trees,
tree terminology.
Yeah. And he's got, you know, the termite direct box. And he's got, yeah.
That's clever.
Well, that's good. It's a full.
And is screen. He?
No, you're going to want one when you see
is
it.
Is he here? In L.A.?
Yeah. Out here in the valley.
Oh, really? So he's out in the valley.
Yeah, you should have one of these.
They're not. Yeah, no. I'll take it. But anyway, no, that's interesting. So the besides this guitar, what do you use to record? And I know Lucy's like your main axe.
I have a
Rick.
After all, the many years of doing every possible kind of work, I've distilled it down to one great strumming acoustic, which is my Gibson Country Western. It's basically a 1964 version of a J45, I believe, but it has a wider neck. It was a limited run, but for big cowboy guitar players that wanted a little extra room for their hands. And then for finger picking, I have this O Series Martin. Hopefully it's in tune. Right, it's a finger picking.
I think
special.
That's an O20. It looks at the appointments. It's rosewood with binding, so I would think it's an.
It's
O20.
It's a reissue, and it was something that was discontinued for 30 or 40 years, and they made a limited run about 10 years ago. And I bought one at True Tone Music.
You
plug for my buddies.
It's right near my house.
You can't see it on the video, but it's got the little snowflake inlays, which is more the vintage and the vintage. Tuning keys. It's a beautiful guitar. Ebony. It looks like an ebony board, ebony bridge. Really nice spruce top. And it's got the herringbone purfling on it. So it's really, really sweet. I'm jealous. I want it.
That's a tone.
That's okay. You know
yeah,
what?
Right?
But I learned you cannot own every guitar. There's so much jealousy, but so a lot of guitars come to my place, for example, to the studio, and so I'm in peace. No, you cannot own all of them, not all the best ones, but you can meet them, you know, say hi and just.
Well, after you have Lucy, I understand.
Actually, I'm fine.
And I have to mention, I forgot to mention it, but Michael has his own internet radio show called Radio Venice, and give us the information on that when you broadcast.
RadioVenice.tv. We're live every Sunday at 4:20
California time.
And RadioVenice.tv at out of my studio in Venice. We got great musicians from all over the world come play music live, a little bit like you do. That's what I appreciate about you having us here too. Actually, people playing live music on the radio, it's a beautiful thing. So, and
understand this is right on Venice Beach on the boardwalk.
Right.
Like, you look out and you see the sunset over the water,
well,
it's beautiful.
You see the door in the video studio back there. At his place, you see the ocean,
the real one,
no
green screen.
Occasionally, a great
semi-naked
coming
crazies.
By.
Yeah, there's like all kinds of stuff going on. Yeah, we had a 3-year party last night, we had some great acts playing, and yeah, we're just getting started. Life is good, we're gonna do. You know,
hi Ray.
So really, yeah, she's probably listening. My mom's listening too in German.
Hi, mom.
Mom, you got a great kid.
Yeah. Oh, she would love to hear that.
Okay, are we gonna do a song with the steel string and the gut string? Do you want to do something? Is there something that you do then?
Yeah, we could actually. Hello, me your tuner.
Where is it?
I love that 12 string over there. It's beautiful.
That's for the big finale.
Yeah,
we'll get to that.
Well, I have a Takamine. Six string.
Yeah, you know, this one, because of the nails, I play with the finger. So I play, I hacked some holes in it in the wood with the nails. So because these are fake nails, they're pretty strong. So
they look real to me.
Thomas actually designed this pickguard and put it on me, so that saved that guitar.
I wanted to play a Wasserfall, but I can't. I need the cutaway, so I don't think I can do what. What could I do on this?
I'm not sure. Maybe play a little bit of that blues song that you have, just so we can hear the guitar.
You guys should do a Wasserfall. If I say it right, my German is limited. But this, what I want to talk mention so people can listen for it, he does harp-like effects on it with the guitar, like he's showing you right now.
To it.
All right, from the top, yeah.
Incredible. Like, this passing back, and I'm fascinated with that. Like, I'm like, I just want to hear what you're doing, like, separately, and then I want to hear what you're doing, because my brain's not comprehending how quickly you pass the parts back and forth.
We got a brand new song where we just put this a little bit too extreme.
Like, it's almost like, how do you figure out who does which part within the song? You know, like, you cut each section apart, and, like, how does that happen?
I think by playing every day, and then I got to find a melody for this part. Also, playing on these instruments, you can't jam, right? And you get kind of good after a while, faking, like, you know, okay, as long as an A minor, I'll just play around. But this, you got to have melodies.
Yeah,
you know? These are all
so melodic.
These are all parts, and which is why I like it, because I've spent so much of my life has been, okay, there's a gig tomorrow and I just show up and play, which is fun, but I really like now knowing exactly where my hand's going to be and what it's going to do.
Well, let's break it up. Let's, that part, dun, 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 that section, you play your part right. by yourself.
Okay.
Just that part, and then go back and have you play your part so sure. you can see what they're doing and how they're interacting. I mean, they blend. You're not exact. You're not doing the exact same thing. You're doing something.
Barely ever we do that.
And then,
can I tell you who I was thinking about when I wrote that melody with those chords? Jimmy Webb.
Okay.
Jimmy Webb's one of my heroes.
It's no.
Do you hear it now?
Yeah, I hear it. But I mean, it's neat. The thing that you do above, and then when he's playing, it makes it like one huge guitar.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever watched him do it. It's amazing.
Right, because it's like just that. Added voicings on top.
I'm always so, I'm here, and I go, wait a minute, you do that? Wow, cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's kind of fun is what always happens between us. You know, I'm a big minor guy, he's a big major guy. So we do a lot switch before the major and the minor, so happens more than usually when I do my own stuff, or maybe when you...
Oh, we should play, what's the song where we go back and forth, major to minor?
We do it every song.
No.
It's great.
What's the song you just cut?
Totally cool.
And I want to mention one other thing that you're doing in Wasserfall, the harp type of thing.
Right.
You're doing like, it's either seven over one.
Yeah.
And then he's doing the more straight tempo. So you're actually doing a counter rhythm. You're playing against each other in totally different time signatures, which is interesting. Can you do that section for a second?
Yeah.
Go ahead and just play your part first. Okay, and then you come in.
Fast as my fingers
it's
can humanly
fourth,
go.
That's fast.
He's basically like a four time, and you're playing three.
Yeah. You know, sometimes these things just happen.
You're right. I'm the one that's break. I'm in my own.
But it's interesting, and it's not easy to throw that against it, but it works. It makes
as long as it comes out at the end, you're like right on.
We're pretty good at this. You
know, I'm not worried about them returning to one.
When you work with African musicians, the one becomes a little bit less important. Also in flamenco, you know, just like you have this rhythm of 12, you know, and you have this typical rhythm, the one is not the accent. The accent is like 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Can you play that?
I just can tap it, you know. When you count... From you count to 12, and the accents are on the 3, the 6, the 8, 10, and 12. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's no accent on the 1. Like you usually have 1, 2, 3. You're always like...
Yeah.
So and then they just like they start counting 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's
oh,
like...
Oh, that's bizarre.
So you don't necessarily always need the 1, you know? Or like, also like in African music, it's all like a little bit switched around. So.
See, I would count it like 1, 2 as a pickup. Because I hear the 3 as a 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
1,
so
2, 3.
Oh, yeah. I'd be fired on the
same. Now, yeah. My feet might do a different thing. So.
No, but it's interesting. But then again, it implies the 1.
Yes.
Which is cool, too.
Yeah.
I mean, on our rock and roll sensibility, the downbeat is like, you know, that's...
That's ingrained.
Funk, yeah. It's just like a bang.
It's ingrained.
Yeah. But, I mean, to imply it is kind of an interesting thing.
It's a different kind of feel. But the thing is, when you play with someone like Rick together, you know, we're not always like doing the same. We find each other at some point, you know, and that's good. It's important to listen, and then you will get there. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, like the when you get the return is like, and this last song was the Jimmy Webb part.
Right, that's it ground. Just, it's ground. Just, yeah.
Then everybody's
right.
Back.
You could deviate and then come back together.
Yeah.
We'll be there eventually.
And that's a bit of the major minor thing with Michael and I's too. I'll make the Jimmy Webb thing happen because I know that as a listener, I need a nice simple melody to go. Okay, now you can go off, but come back somewhere. And give
so
me
that's
home.
Like exactly your two personalities. It's just reflected right there.
Yeah, yeah.
We got this new song called. We had all kind of names. They're working title. We only have working titles so far, but there's a where we. Put this a little bit to the extreme, the back and forth.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah. You want to do that new one?
Yeah, okay.
This like mellow section.
Yeah.
And you go back into the more robust. That's really interesting. That's an interesting piece.
Good. Yeah, I like the
syncopated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really, 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 really nice. We're almost out of time. I want to make sure you guys get a chance to because we're going to use the steel string guitars.
And that's not cut off the end again.
I want you to make sure you go ahead and give enough time to tune them up and make sure they're good.
Yeah.
While they're doing that, do you want to let's go ahead and mention what's going on with you?
I'm just going to make a pitch for Gary Stockdale's tour.
Okay.
So one of our favorite singer-songwriters is on the road doing a West Coast tour. from LA all the way up to Seattle, and he'll be up at Egan's next weekend in Seattle on Friday, and many places along the way. He just played Sacramento, and you can just check his Facebook page, Gary Stockdale, his Facebook page and or his website.
Okay.
And see where he's going to be.
And where are you guys going to be playing at? What's going on with you guys? You got some gigs coming up?
We're playing at the Standard on Wednesday.
Standard Hotel Wednesday with Angela McCluskey and her husband Paul Cantillon.
And that's the Hollywood one, right?
The Hollywood one, yeah. By the pool.
Okay,
by,
yeah.
Come by the pool, bring your suit. And then we're playing Thursday at Zinc.
Where's that?
It's a French bistro at Abbot Kinney and Venice.
Oh, okay.
And then Michael and I'll probably do four or five songs there. And then after that, that's
then,
it.
Then we're going back to Germany.
Then we're back to Radio Venice, Michael's place.
Yeah. That will happen too.
Where are you guys going to play in Germany?
We just got back from there.
Yeah. You said you were going to go back.
He told me we're going back.
So where do you play there?
Huh?
Where do you play there?
Frankfurt and Berlin.
We went to Frankfurt.
There's certain venues that know you.
Because there are some people that listen in Europe.
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's like we played also a place in my hometown. It's called Silent Sound Garden, which is a beautiful little venue.
And Silent Sound Garden, for those not used to Michael's accent.
I lost my train here.
Right.
So yeah, just like also, you know, every time we go back there, you meet new people, play new venues, you know. We had also like this festival we just recently played in Taos, New Mexico, called Field Trippin'. It was a second annual one. And so friends that played there, they opened up their own little Field Trippin' in Germany. We'll go back next year, do this again, just plant it out there, you know. Just and it's really, really nice. You know, we played all kinds of different venues, and it's fun to meet new people from all over the world. We love L.A., we hate L.A., we all do the same thing. You know, I love living here and meeting all these great musicians. If I wouldn't be in L.A., I never would have met Rick or many other
people. So how did you guys meet? Did we talk about that?
Actually,
we met through a mutual friend. We actually met through a friend named Doug Lewis.
Oh, yeah, Doug.
One day, Doug and I were hanging out with Andy Kravitz, a great drummer and record producer.
Love Andy. We did that gig with him. Remember? Yes.
And I have a friend upstairs who plays flamenco guitar, and I said, I'm in Venice, anything's possible. So all I remember was there was a gentleman with black fingernails.
Yes, and he holds true to that.
And then somehow that led to playing with, I think Isaac and I jammed on Radio Venice, and I said to you, why don't we get two flamenco guitars and surround Isaac?
That was fun.
And that was how long ago?
A year.
Wow. It's not that long.
Now, before you guys start the song, let's talk a little bit about this Takamine. You have a special tuning.
Yeah, so it's my
kind of,
it's the same tuning I use in Goya, but I use it in C sharp. This is D to work in. It's like basically a dad gap with a G string tuned up to A. So the two A strings next to each other gives you like. Gives you that droney kind of sound, you know, can get this Middle Eastern.
So it's D-A-D-A-A-D.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay. And this, I love this, like this is really. I have a lot of music, also my solo records is composed in this tuning. It's kind of really fun because I can easily switch between major and minor. It's kind of fun, you know. It's really fun, and it gives the guitar a nice timbre. And when we did the arrangement for this song, it fit really well. Now we got the firefighters coming.
Perfect.
So the song they're going to take us out with is "Everybody Wants to Rule the World," which it's
everybody knows.
It's supposed to be a surprise. Oh. You're supposed to hear it.
They'll figure it out.
All right. But anyway, real quick, you can
it's not
you
tears can learn for fears.
You can learn.
It's not tears or fears.
You can learn more about what Michael's up to at guitarjost.com. And then for Rick, it's rickboston.org. I thought that was kind of interesting. You're an org.
I'm an org.
You're an org. And also, too, on Facebook, there is a Dos Pochos
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're
Dos or Los?
Dos.
There's a Dos.
Dos Pochos. We also have on Bandcamp. We have already a first four tracks that we recorded at Rick's house available. Bandcamp.
Oh, yeah, I pulled that one up.
Pochos.
And there's a great picture of those two guitars.
So I want to thank you guys.
Thank you.
This is a lot of fun. And we'll have to do this again. We definitely will.
We'll have to. We bring Marshall sticks.
There you go. Okay.
Jeff, sign up for some lessons, huh?
And thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for bringing us together. Everybody have a great week, and I'm going to let these guys take us out. You guess the song.
Thank you.